Okay, good morning, everybody. We have a special panel here today to discuss some of the accident findings from Monday's Daytona 500. We have Steve O'Donnell, NASCAR Executive Vice President and Chief Racing Development Officer. He oversees all our competition efforts. John Bobo, NASCAR Vice President, Racing Operation. John oversees our medical policies and procedures, among other racing operations functions for NASCAR. And Dr. John Padalak, NASCAR Senior Director of Safety Engineering. And he oversees all safety functions at NASCAR's R&D Center. Steve O'Donnell, you want to kick it off, talk about some of the things that went down Monday night and the investigation and the response time.
Sure. Thanks, Mike. You know, first, I want to start off by saying, you know, how thankful we all are to see Ryan Newman walk out of the hospital in Daytona Beach. We continue to work with not only Ryan, but his family and his race team as he continues his recovery, and we'll certainly be with him every step of the way. You've heard us say this many times, that safety is our primary responsibility and priority, and that you're going to hear more of that today as well. So a couple guidelines for what we're going to share with you today. I know a lot of the folks in this room want to hear. I know a lot of the folks in this room will want to hear as many details as possible, but today we're only going to outline the procedures and processes we have in place that take place in training, what we can recap in terms of a timeline of what took place at the scene, and then the investigation process, what the details will be as we roll through this and give it back to you with more. There's several areas we're not going to touch on today as our review continues, and also that the HIPAA laws that are in effect as well. So we cannot and we will not talk about anything that details the medical response that may disclose Ryan's personal and protected medical information. So to start off, I want to say thank you to a few folks, and that's the AMR safety team, the folks that work together with them at Advent Health, Halifax Hospital, the Daytona Beach Police Department, and certainly the folks at Daytona International Speedway, all working together in this incident. So what we want to provide today is a brief overview of the last lap accident. I want to look at both the medical capabilities that were involved and also the safety systems that were involved. So Dr. John Padalak is going to lead this for us. He'll explain a little bit more about the process and then give a complete review once we have all our findings in place. So I want to give you a brief chronological report of what took place and the key actions that took place. So the tool truck arrived at the vehicle 19 seconds after it came to rest. The fireman that you saw with the extinguisher was in that vehicle. One of the three trauma doctors assigned to the safety team for the race arrived at the car at the 33-second mark, and a paramedic entered the vehicle at the 35-second mark. For the next 3.5 minutes, two doctors and paramedics attended to Ryan, and at the 4:05 mark, the decision was then made to roll the car over while continuing to help aid the driver. At the 6:56 mark, the car was upright. The extrication team then began cutting the car, and a doctor continued to provide treatment. The roof was removed at the 11:10 mark, and the extrication was completed at 15:40, and the driver was then moved to the ambulance for transport. During this entire time, doctors and paramedics were attending to Ryan, except at the moment of the car rollover. Working in unison and performing their respective jobs, the first responders performed their jobs as they were trained. The training systems, the safety systems, all worked as were designed, but again, never satisfied with what took place, and we'll learn as much as possible and implement those changes, if there are any, as soon as we can. So I want to hand it over to John Bobo, who will walk you through the training that goes into each event from both a logistics and medical standpoint. And then Dr. Padalak will speak as well.
Thanks, Steve. You know, I want to talk about two important parts of this, which is our first response training and our medical procedures and policies. You know, training is a full season unto itself at NASCAR. Before the green flag drops, there's so much that we do each and every week. We are rehearsing and training weekly to create that operational muscle memory for times of crisis. About 2 months out before each event, we work with our local track partners to conduct trainings that include online, classroom, and hands-on training. The courses cover anything from cleanup, restoration, extraction, and rollover. Every single person working at the track in the safety capacity has to go through that training. On the medical side, we have the NASCAR AMR safety team. It's a team of emergency paramedics, physicians, and neurologists who provide a level of service that's just phenomenal. To date, over the last 3 years, they've worked 115 cup races and have come to know our competitors well. Another key component to our safety is our local medical and emergency professionals and our relationship with them. We work with our track partners and fully embrace local and medical emergency care. We have learned through the years that these local professionals are a gateway into the highest levels of care and expertise. And that's why we take the time before each race to tour trauma centers to get to know folks at the local level as we can do that. So you put all this together, and what you've got is a collaboration of professionals working in concert through the years based on mutual respect and dedication to a singular mission. Now, John Padalak will talk about some of the safety enhancements through the investigation.
Thanks, John. Good morning. Regarding NASCAR crash investigation, that begins for us at the racetrack. Anytime there's an incident on the track, whether the vehicle is towed or driven back into the garage area, the NASCAR safety officials go to that car and begin the investigation. That typically starts with pictures being taken around the exterior of the vehicle and then also moving to the interior, looking at the driver restraint system, removing the IDR, which is our incident data recorder, and the high-speed camera in the Cup Series. All of that information comes back and begins to populate an incident report, which is housed in our NASCAR crash database. That process was followed for the 6 and 32 cars at Daytona, as well as all the other cars involved in incidents that week. In the case of the 6 and 32 cars, those vehicles were then transported back to the NASCAR Research and Development Center in Concord, North Carolina, for further investigation. On Tuesday, that started with the laying out of the vehicles in a secure space where we have all of the components and associated elements that came from the cars and on the racetrack, as well as the driver's safety equipment. We began to document all of that, all of those parts and pieces, all of that equipment, really starting from the outside of the vehicles, slowly working our way in and assessing each of the individual safety systems and how they performed individually as well as together as a complete assembly, and then ultimately how the two cars interacted together during the crash. We have many sources of data that we're pulling from in the investigation. As I mentioned, those include the IDR, the high-speed camera. We're also looking at the ECU data, available telemetry data from the vehicles, and broadcast and non-broadcast video sources. We're currently working on synchronizing all of those data sets together in time. So with the video, that's looking at each video on a frame-by-frame basis, lining those up together in time to create a full picture of what happened as the crash unfolded. We're working together with Roush Fenway Racing as well as outside experts as we continue to investigate and look forward to being able to provide more information at some time soon.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. We're now turn over to media questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you. And we'll start right here with Jeff, and then we'll go to Claire.
Jeff Gluck from The Athletic. I'm curious about the paramedic who went into the car. Is that a standard practice to have somebody go inside the car in a crash like that?
Yeah, we will get someone inside the car as quickly as we can. And I think it's important to also note the, you know, surroundings of that car with, you know, there were a lot of things going on, and would applaud the paramedic for doing their job and getting in right away, and that's always our first move, first person on the scene who then works with the doctors.
Claire.
Claire B. Lang, Sirius XM, NASCAR Radio. There were obviously many conversations with the drivers yesterday, and they were talking about the safety of the cars, which they feel really good about, but always NASCAR looking forward. Some of the taller drivers, the Joey Logano's, the Austin Cindrics, moving forward, is that kind of an area that you're looking at?
I think as we look at all those in the next-gen vehicle, we're certainly always looking for ways to make improvements, and we have a good opportunity to do that with the next-gen. And we'll look at our current car as well as this investigation unfolds and look at any opportunities for improvement.
Go to Lee and then Bob.
Lee Spencer, racingboys.com. Just wondering, John, as far as the reinforcement bar, there's been a lot of talk about the Newman bar this week, and just wondering, you know, the reinforcement of the window, because, you know, the drivers really fear getting hit after, you know, it's not so much going over, but it's the secondary, you know, things that can happen. How instrumental, you know, has the reinforcement of the cockpit over the last two decades been in ensuring that the drivers do eventually walk away?
So when we look at the cars and look back at what we've been able to do with the cars as an industry, we've been able to make improvements. The one you've referenced in 2013 with the additional roll bars in the roof and the windshield area. We're also able to do things with a laminate windshield in 2013 and improved window net mounting in 2013. And all of those things really contribute and work together as an assembly to improve the overall outcomes to what we saw in Daytona. And so I think each one contributes in its own way for both of those vehicles involved.
I think just to add to that, John and I were talking earlier about, you know, the fact that Ryan Newman was involved in this accident with his engineering background, has been someone who we have turned to in many times talking about safety enhancements. One of the reasons you won't hear as many details today is, you know, we still haven't had the chance to go through this with Ryan and his team, with the other drivers in the garage, but Ryan's feedback as we go through this will be key, and I think that'll be a key component, as it's always been throughout the process when he's been racing.
Packers, Fox Sports, I have a couple. The first, do you anticipate any changes to the rules package? I know that you feel like your liftoff speeds are where you would want them, but any change to the rules package in hopes of preventing cars getting airborne as they have at the plate races or the super speedways?
I think it's fair to say, Bob, that, you know, still early in terms of as we look through this, but we're going to look at everything and anything in terms of the speeds. The liftoff, you've heard me say many times before, we never want a car to get airborne, so we'll look at how that occurred around the speeds. We'll look at the racing procedures we have in place as well. All of those will be on the table as we look to head into Talladega, and if we need to make adjustments around the aero balance and speeds as it relates to safety, we'll do that.
And can you say if Newman's been cleared to race, and if not, just what is the procedure for him to get cleared?
Yeah, he would have to be cleared by his medical team for all racing activities, and I know they'll work have time to work through that process, and we'll be in communications with them.
We've got a follow-up from Jeff.
Yeah, for Steve. You mentioned the racing procedures could possibly change. Is that in terms of, like, could extend to, like, how overtime is done or what when the caution comes down the last lap, things like that, or are you referring to something different?
No, I think more just talking to the drivers. You know, you hear a lot, and I'm surprised we haven't heard a lot, you know, about blocking or different things that occur during the race. I'd say the overtime rules were not going to change. The caution procedures, I would stand by how that worked for the Daytona 500. Just in talking to the drivers, you know, this incident only happened a few days ago. So, you know, our job now is to have continued dialogue with the drivers, see what happened in terms of this race package. Were there any changes from Talladega to Daytona in terms of how they race, how that may have contributed or not to this incident? And if we can make some changes, we will.
You shed some light on how NASCAR has, I mean, you know, obviously when everybody sees on social media that he's walking out of the hospital 42 hours after, there's a big celebration on Twitter. Was there celebration as well at the R&D Center? Were people high-fiving or any sense of satisfaction that, you know, ultimately things sort of held up?
I have never seen the guy to my right, Dr. John Padalak, celebrate. I would say that he would just continue to do his job and know that there's always something we're going to learn. A lot of the things you heard John talk about earlier were already in the works in 2013 that they had put in place. And so are we certainly happy that he walked out with his daughters? 100%. But our job is to get those races in, make them exciting for the fans, and not have those incidents. So if we can improve on that, we'll do that.
Claire Belang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. A lot of people in this room, you know, we follow the sport week to week. We live in the garage. What would you say, Steve, to people outside the sport? It seemed like a lot of the national coverage, ABC News, et cetera, over the years has understood your quest towards safety and all the work that you've done. What would you say to people that just saw that crash and don't know anything about you know, all the stuff that we're talking about today?
I'd say, you know, if someone had a chance to come up to the R&D Center and just see everything that goes into, not what happened in that incident, but all the training that John talked about that goes into this, everything that goes on at the R&D Center on a day-to-day basis, is put in place for a reason. And it's not to, as Jeff said, you know, I'm not saying anything to high-five each other. It's more about this is our job, and this is what we do, and you got the 40 drivers in the garage area who expect us to do that each and every day. So we'll continue to do that. I'm certainly proud of the folks that we have on our team, but I think you'd hear them all say that we can continue to improve, and we'll do that.
Go to Bob.
Bob Parker, Fox Sports. Is there anything in the development of the next-gen car that you feel will help in these situations?
So development's well underway. We've done several safety tests in the roof, as well as door bars and things like that, both in computer simulation and physical testing, and we're preparing to do more. So the next-gen, every time we have an opportunity to have a clean sheet of paper, it's a great opportunity from a safety standpoint to implement improvements, and we're already seeing those happen.
We have time for one final question. We'll go with Lee.
To kind of follow up on that, John, there's been some discussion about the movement of the seat and where you guys moved it, and Joey said it's not a problem for him because he can still see over the dashboard, but for some of the shorter drivers, what are we doing as far as giving them, you know, a better view out of the windshield of the Gen 7?
So I think, the eye line is something that they're working with. We're working with all the teams to make sure that all the drivers can have adequate sight lines, and I think they've been able to accommodate all those guys who have been fit in that car so far. From a safety standpoint, what we're looking at is making sure we have clearance to the roll cage, and those are all good numbers in the next gen for now.
All right, thank you, everybody, and thank you, gentlemen, for your time today.
Hey, Mike, real quick, I just want to say to the media, you know, in the day and age and social media, and I tweeted this out, but sincerely respect all of you for how this incident was handled and appreciate you. I know it took a while, but there are reasons for that, and appreciate you all kind of waiting on results to where we could get back to you. So thank you for that.